Please turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at two texts today, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And then we're going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Strength to the defeated. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And then turn to Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And I want to read just the C part of the verse, the latter part. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Have you ever known defeat in your life? Have you ever pastored a church that folded? There is a feeling of real defeat. Have you ever been fired as pastor of a church for preaching the truth? Have you ever come to a point when all of your dreams and all of your plans came crashing down? Have you in this or some similar situation ever been brought to ask, how am I going to go on? What church will have me now that I've been fired? How can I ever serve the Lord again? God's Word speaks directly to this matter of defeat. In this message, I shall seek to show from the Scriptures how strength comes to the defeated. The first thing I want to do in this message is to look at some facts of the Christian life. Pastors need to tell their people the facts of life, the facts of the Christian life. First of all, it is a fact that the Christian life is, in its very nature, a struggle. We are not to expect an easy journey through this world on the way to the celestial city. The Christian life is a struggle. The Lord Jesus describes it like this in Matthew 11, 12, when he says, The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I don't believe that verse gets preached on very often. The Lord allows his people to encounter great opposition and great difficulty in this life. Genesis 22, 1 and 2, for example, tells how God sent a very difficult test to Abraham concerning his beloved son Isaac. Turn to Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God requires us to struggle many times. And He often keeps us in a condition of weakness. A second fact of the Christian life is this. Weakness is the true condition of all men. Christians are weak, and this weakness is real. We have an inability within ourselves to manage our affairs and stand against opposition. The Lord Jesus, in many scriptures, promises us strength for our lives, and He had no reason to promise this strength if we didn't need it or if we had it apart from Him. Our text in Hebrews 13:5 is a promise of God to His people. And this promise is made to aid us in our weakness. It hints that we have no strength of our own, but need strength from above. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Part of being human is being weak. Part of being a finite creature is being weak. Isaiah 40 and verse 6 says that all flesh is grass. Christians are also weak due to our sinful nature that remains in us. Look at Romans 7:24 here. Paul is speaking of this sinful nature in Romans 7:24. When he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This weakness is a weakness we can feel. We're not strong enough for our work. Some may think they are, but we're not. The Apostle Paul acknowledges this in 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Christians feel their weakness. Some Christians think, however, that they are strong. They think that they can handle most any situation in which they may find themselves. Some Christians think they are strong because of their knowledge of Bible doctrine. I've noticed that oftentimes such who are strong in knowledge like this are the first people to fall when heresies arise. Some Christians think they are strong because of their experience as Christians, and so they're not afraid of temptation. I have actually had people tell me that they were not tempted by certain sins. One man told me one time, said, you know, preacher, dirty pictures don't bother me. Boy, a bell went off. In thinking that he is strong, when meeting temptation, a Christian often fails. Just because a man has been a Christian or even a pastor, even for many years, does not mean that he is strong enough to overcome Satan's workings. Even though we Christians are weak as water, some get the idea that their own knowledge and experience are enough to enable them to do God's work and to overcome all temptation. In their pride, they often begin to rely upon themselves. We all need to be reminded periodically of what Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Classic illustration in my ministry. One time I was in a Southern Baptist Associational meeting. Had this big platform that would have gone all the way across this auditorium here. And they had all the speakers sit on the platform. And they had this woman lined up to sing a special. And so while she got up and sang, she was a prima donna. While she was singing, they came in and moved all the speakers and all the chairs off down this way, off of the platform. And so when she finished her song and hit the high note, She backed up and she bowed a couple of times and she backed up and sat down in her chair, which was no longer there. And she sat on the floor. And I heard her say this. She said, you know what the first thing that came to my mind was? Pride goeth before a fall. It really happens. Peter thought this way just before the Lord's crucifixion. Peter's great humiliating defeat came when he thought that he was strong in himself. The night before the Lord's crucifixion, he told his disciples in Mark 14:27, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. In his own strength and self-confidence, Peter quickly replied in verse 29 of Mark 14, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. But when some began to say that Peter was one of the Lord's disciples, verse 71 of that same chapter says, he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Peter was indeed weak, very weak. Christian, you are weak, really weak. No matter how strong you may think you are, no Christian is safe from even the worst and strongest sins when he goes in his own strength. The full extent of what we Christians can do in our own strength is stated by the Lord Jesus in John 15:5, where he says, without me, ye can do nothing. My friend, if you have no strength but your own, you are in bad shape today. What we have seen about Christians here is also true of unbelievers. Unsaved people are weak. And yet most unsaved people think that they can do everything needed to carry them to heaven at last. They think that they can be saved by their own doings. It's quite common to hear it said on TV of those who have died in some tragedy or other that these people are surely in heaven because they were such good persons. Charles Spurgeon said that he wondered how such people would behave if they did go to heaven. Because while everyone else will be singing, we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, these people will be saying, our robes never needed washing. We kept them white as snow. God's Word says that there is no way to get to heaven by one's own strength. It's therefore a fatal error to try. A lost person must realize that he has no strength to save or help save himself. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6 says this about lost people. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ came into this world to save those people who have no strength. And He obeyed God's law. And He died on the cross as their substitute in order to accomplish their redemption. Lost sinner here today, you are without strength in regards to your salvation. So take hold of Christ's strength and be saved today. Turn from your imaginary strength and turn to Jesus Christ for everything you need for salvation. A second thing I want to point out in this message is the fact that God displays His strength in weak people. God displays His strength in weak people. It is weak people that the Lord chooses to display His strength. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Christ Jesus does great things by weak and lowly instruments. This is the way He works. Using weak vessels to do great things is God's ordinary way of working. In doing this, He demonstrates the strength of Christ by whom it's done. God uses the most unlikely and unpromising means to do great things because His strength appears more clearly in such situations. The Lord often puts His people in difficult and disadvantageous situations where Satan has the advantage and is allowed to attack them and yet be defeated. This brings glory to the strength of Christ and shame to His enemies. The Lord brings us to the realization of our weakness in order to demonstrate His strength in us. I love the story of Gideon. Gideon, God sent Gideon with an army of just 300 men against an army so vastly superior in number that it was compared with the grains of sand on the seashore. Judges 7:12 tells about this vast, uncountable army of the Midianites against whom the Lord sent Gideon and his little band of 300. Let's turn to that. Judges 7:12. Judges chapter 7, verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Look at verse 2 in that same chapter. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Verse 7 of the same chapter goes on to say, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. And they won. In Isaiah 41:14-15, God compares Israel to a worm for weakness. Oh, modern man doesn't like such a worm as I in the hymn book. God called Israel a worm, called Jacob a worm. But He said, I'm going to use this worm to thresh the mountains small as dust. Turn to Isaiah 41:14-15. Isaiah 41:14-15. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and shalt make the hills as chaff. When God sent the gospel into this world, Satan had the power of the sword and the learning of the world on his side. But Christ Jesus took a few fishermen and Paul and overwhelmed Satan's opposition. Hebrews 11:34 says that by means of His weak people, God quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. When we are weak, God gives us strength, and then we do great things in His cause. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. The reason the Lord lets us fall so low is for a clearer demonstration of His divine strength in our recovery. God can take us out of these circumstances of weakness, and yet He keeps us in them. He has a great purpose in doing so. Finally, I want us to consider in this message the strength of a Christian. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, if you'll turn back to the text, we have a paradox. Paul's writings are full of paradoxes, aren't they? 2 Corinthians 12:10, we have a paradox. Paul says here, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak means when I know I'm weak. Then I am strong. The Scripture says here that a man is strong when he is consciously weak. When we are weak, we're driven away from ourselves and to God and to Christ for strength. When we feel that we can do absolutely nothing on our own, but are dependent on Christ, then we are strong indeed. In this statement, Paul expresses this truth as being a matter of his own personal experience. A weak man will be on his guard because he knows he cannot cope with his enemies. We're always weak, whether we know it or not. But when we see this truth, then we are strong because we have to trust in the Lord. When I was weak, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I realize my weakness for facing anything, then it is that Christ upholds me and works through me, and I can become more than conqueror. A Christian who is weak in himself and sees himself to be so is strong in Christ. We are not strong when we compliment ourselves on our own ability. We are strong when we realize our absolute inability, and thus we depend on God. The opposite is true of us also. When I am strong, then I am weak. When I think that I have ability in myself to face whatever comes in life, then I am actually weak. How can you know that you are weak? If you think you're strong, then in actuality you're weak. Whenever we lose this sense of our own weakness, the Lord often leaves us to our own strength until we again realize our weakness. Peter is the classic example of being left by the Lord to his own strength. What happened? Disaster followed. The source of a Christian strength is God, specifically Christ. All strength is in God. There is no power except in God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:5 that our sufficiency is of God. To those who have no strength in themselves, God increases strength. Again, Isaiah 40:29 says it this way, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. The Christian says with Paul in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. A lot of people stop right there. But Paul didn't stop there. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When we reach the point of our greatest hopelessness, that is the usual signal for Christ to exert His strength for us. Look at Deuteronomy 32:36 here. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 36. For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. Christ strengthens His people when they empty themselves. Listen, God will not put any more on you than you can handle in His strength. If I didn't believe that, I'd have quit preaching a long time ago. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. His grace alone is sufficient for all of His people in their times of need." God's great grace supports us in all our weakness. We can face anything because Christ is sufficient. In this same ninth verse, God says, "For My strength is made perfect in weakness." That is, the strength of Christ is seen to be perfect and sufficient in strengthening His people. Isaiah 40:31 speaks of God's people renewing their strength. You know that verse. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." But how can you as a Christian renew your strength? First of all, you can pray. Through prayer, that is going to the Lord for strength and asking Him for it, you can renew your strength. When a man is weak, he will pray and ask for strength. And prayer brings power, the power of Christ. Crying to the Lord for help is strength. "Lord, I am too weak to do anything in my own wisdom. Unless You help me, I can do nothing worthwhile." When you say, "Lord, help me," then you are strong. The weaker a man is in himself, the more he will pray. Maybe that's why we don't pray. We're not weak. A second thing to be done in renewing your strength is to claim God's promises. The way we get things from God, I don't think a lot of people ever find this out. The way we get things from God is by reminding Him of His promises and reverently holding Him to those promises. And if you can say to God, "You promised me so-and-so," how can He say no? Hebrews 13:5 is a promise that belongs to all Christians. And here the Lord says to His people, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And this promise applies to God's people in all circumstances in life, physical and spiritual. It means that He will give them strength and support in all situations that arise in their lives, but be they what they may. Christ will not leave us to our enemies, nor to our own strength, which is weakness. He won't leave us to Satan and his temptations. He won't leave us to this carnal world and its great pleasures or pressures. He won't leave us no matter what happens. He won't forsake us in life, in death, or at the judgment. Even though He sometimes hides His face from us, yet He won't do so completely or finally. My own personal testimony is that the Lord Jesus has never left me nor forsaken me, and I praise Him for it. What should all this cause us to do? First of all, it should cause Christians to trust Christ completely. God's people must depend on Jesus Christ alone for their strength. Christian, forsake your opinion of having your own wisdom and ability. Come to the strong for strength. Second, this should cause Christians to get to work serving the Lord. Let's pick up our tools and go to work because our strength is in Christ. In Christ, we have the strength to do whatever God calls on us to do. What if we are weak? Let us labor on until the Lord has accomplished all of His purposes by our weakness. Let us cast our nothingness on God's omnipotence. Then our strength will be God's strength, and nothing can overcome God's strength. Lastly, what we have seen today should cause sinners to come to Christ for salvation. We've already seen in Romans 5:6 how the lost sinner is without strength as far as doing anything to be saved. My unsaved friend here today, you can never, ever stand before God in your own strength. God, why then don't you look to Christ for strength to stand before God? Why don't you do that? Recognize your weakness. And when you do, come to Christ. You will never come until you recognize your weakness. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 9:12, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Hope in Christ. Rest in His righteousness. Rely on His great sacrifice as your own. If you will, He will save you today. Brother Kozart.